Now this morning, in continuation of the message that we have been bringing, the series on Be an Example of the Believers, we now are down to the word in faith. Be an example of the believers in faith. Now, if you and I are Christians, that means we believe. You cannot become a Christian without believing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. They that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so salvation is not of works, it's of grace through faith. And so you cannot become a believer unless you believe. Now that sounds simple, but there are a lot of people that join the church that don't believe. They don't believe what the Bible says. They contradict the teaching of the Word on the virgin birth, on the depravity of man, on eternal life, on the coming of the Lord. They just are social members of a social club. And while they may go under the name of Christian, because they belong to some church that is under the canopy and has a reputation of being Christian, you can never be a believer unless you believe. And so, to believe God's Word is important. And the more you read God's Word, and the more you study God's Word, and the more of God's Word you can grasp and believe, the closer to God you become, and the better your victory is in overcoming Satan and living the life God wants you to live. It's all wrapped up in what you know about the Word of God. And that's very vital. Now, Jesus came to overcome the works of the devil, to destroy the works of the devil. And He says to us, He says to His Heavenly Father in His prayer, as Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now, if Jesus Christ was a devil defeater, He turned around and said, I want My disciples to be devil defeaters. He wants you to overcome Satan in your life. And I'm going to preach a message about that tonight. And you're going to have a marvelous overcoming attitude when the message is finished in the service tonight. Now, we do not overcome by being defeated. How can you be an overcomer if you live defeated? We don't overcome by being defeated. We overcome by defeating Satan. And if there are areas of your life where you are defeated, you need to get hold of the Word of God and stand on it with a confession of faith until you become the victor. Because there is an overcoming power in the blood of Jesus that is available to every born-again believer. Now, one major deception that Satan brings to us is that our problems, our trials, our temptations, and our sicknesses are sent by God to teach us and to develop us spiritually, mentally, and physically. But that concept does not fit with the fact that God put our sin, our sickness, our disease, our sorrow, our grief, our poverty on Jesus Christ at Calvary. The Bible said Jesus bore our sicknesses in His own body on the tree. If He bore them, why do we bear them? He didn't need to be healed. When He was with the Father in all eternity, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was never a time in eternity when Christ did not exist. With the Father, perfect, having all things. And yet He came to this earth and took upon Himself sickness. Why? Because He needed to be healed? Absolutely not. Because there was a fallen race of Adam's descendant that the devil had put sickness upon, and Jesus came to break that curse and to become a curse in your place. And if He bore our sickness, then healing is ours by faith in Jesus and what He accomplished. Do you believe that? And that goes with sin and sickness and disease and sorrow and grief and poverty. And if we have to carry those to learn lessons, why did Jesus have to carry them? That concept makes Calvary a waste of time. He was wounded for our transgression, not his. He was bruised for our iniquities, not his. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It wasn't the chastisement of his peace. And with his stripes, we, not he, with his stripes, we are healed. Thank God for Jesus that paid the price so you and I could go free. Believe it, and it's yours by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you think that God has no other way to get your attention rather than to strike you with cancer, you've got the misconception of what God and a loving Father is. My Bible tells me that God is love. Jesus said the devil is the one that came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. And have it more abundantly. That's inconsistent with the idea that God smites people with sickness. Somebody said, I thank God he made me sick so that I'd go to the hospital so I could win the person in the bed next to me to Jesus. How utterly ridiculous. Hey, if that's true, if that's the kind of a God you serve, don't wait till you get struck with cancer. Go to the hospital tomorrow and win those people to God and save yourself all the suffering. Let's not be ridiculous. Let's trust God and walk in faith and know that God is the one that is for you, not against you. When you're saved, you're his child. He's your heavenly Father. He loves you with a never-dying love, and he's going to bless you, not curse you. Amen. Now, the Bible says the trying of your faith works patience. That's James 1 and 3. Now, patience does not mean having to put up with like some people think. It does not mean that we have to put up with the devil's nonsense to prove that we have patience. Patience means to be constant or the same way all of the time. It's being stable, and that's what I'm talking to you about in the faith life. It doesn't matter what comes or what you encounter in life. You maintain your faith in God. You're the same tomorrow as you were today, and you're the same today as you were yesterday. And when everything is going smooth, you still confess in faith and keep your eyes on the Word and believe what God promises you. And when things don't go very smooth, you still keep your eyes on the Word. You still believe Jesus Christ. You still maintain that patience or that constant level of faith. And I promise you, God will bring you out, and the devil can never defeat you if you remain constant in your faith. Faith is not something you grab hold of in an emergency. Faith is something you live every day. That's where a lot of Christians have trouble. They sail along, never open the Bible, never read the Word, never feed the inner man. And then when they get in trouble, they're just like Peter, sinking down when he was walking on water. Help me, Lord! They want to use faith as an emergency escape from some set of circumstances. Don't use faith as an emergency. Live in faith. Live in positive confession in what God can do for your life. Walk in that way. No matter what comes or goes, you walk in faith in God, and you will be an overcomer. You can't help but overcome if you maintain a walk of faith. Amen. Very important. We learn to walk in faith no matter what we see, feel, or endure. Our faith, confession, joy, and outlook remains constant. Circumstances do not weaken our faith. We stand on the Word of God. We do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. God is faithful. He's constant. He does not change. Anchor yourself to God. He will see you through. And I think it bears repeating what I said last Sunday. If you don't know the Word of God, the devil's going to beat you six ways from Sunday. Because your fortification is in the Word. Now, there is an answer for everything that Satan can bring against you in the Word of God. But if you don't know the Word of God, you have no fortification. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you've got to walk in that faith and know what the Word of God says. And when you're out here in the everyday world and you encounter a crisis, you don't have time to run home and look in the concordance under the heading of the crisis that you're looking in to see what God's Word has to say about it. You need to know any moment what God's Word says about your victory in every situation that the devil can throw at you. And the minute those things come against you, if suddenly out of your mouth, because you are so full of it in your spirit, if the Word of God just comes out of you under every circumstance, the devil can never defeat you. The Word will see you through, but you've got to know the Word before you can stand on it. So get the Bible off the shelf. Take the dust off of it. Open it up. Get your nose out of that television set. Get your mind on God's Word. Get into your spirit what God has to say, and then you can stand everything that comes your way. Amen. Now, I can hear someone saying, well, you know, Pastor, but the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Yep, that's what it says. Well, doesn't that mean that God's put sickness on a Christian to teach and train him? No. How do you chastise your children? Amen. If you had the power, would you say, I'm going to put cancer on my little son to teach him a lesson? Would you say that? You have other methods, I hope. The God who is love certainly does. Now, it's the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. God comes to give life. Now, there are times when he chastises, yes. But if God chastised with sickness, then the Scripture would not say, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If some of us are suffering with sickness because God's trying to teach us something, that Scripture would read, is any sick among you? Only you who are not being taught a lesson from God call for the elders of the church to anoint and pray. All the rest of you who are sick because God's teaching you something, you just suffer on until you learn whatever it is God's trying to get through to you. Amen. Now that makes sense. Is any sick among you? Why? Because God hates sickness. And Jesus came that you could be healed. Now, if you believe God is teaching you something through your sickness, don't you reach for that aspirin bottle. You suffer it out, sweetheart. Why should you take away what God's trying to teach you? Hallelujah. Is any sick among you? Let them call. Any of you? God's got healing for you. What am I saying? I'm saying that when God chastises and scourges, he does it with the Word, not physical sickness. He doesn't use the devil's tools to augment his purposes. That's against his nature. Now, the Bible said every scripture is God-given by his inspiration and is profitable for instruction, for reproof, for conviction of sin, for correction of error, for discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Amplified Version. The Word chastises. The Word pricks the heart. The Word convicts. God chastises you through his Word. And then you line up and know where you're standing. Hallelujah. Now, if you break down the hedge of Jesus' blood, I'm going to preach that tonight, the devil's going to bite you. But if you need correcting, the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and the child of God who wants to do right will be brought into line by the Word of God. Now, if you don't want to be brought in line, you don't have to be. You can suffer on, do anything you want to. God will let you go to hell. Doesn't want you to, but he'll allow it because you're a free moral agent. But if you're genuinely a child of God and you get into the area where you shouldn't be, God is going to shape you up by the sharp two-edged sword of the Word of God. And believe you me, he can trim you up and trim you down. Me too. And it's the Word that does the trimming. Amen. Some of you come with all those inconsistencies all week long, those little private sins that you indulge in the inner recesses of your mind, and I preach a good red-hot Holy Ghost anointed sermon, and you squirm out there like you got a, like you got hornets in your trousers. What's happening? God's chastising you with the Word. And you find your way to an altar. Get those sins out of the blood. Shape your life up in line with the Word. All you need to do is live by the Word. If you get out of it, get back in it, and you'll sail with God. That's how God can bring you into line. It's the Word of God. Hallelujah. God does not scourge the flesh. He scourges the inner person with his Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 and 9, you'll find Paul using this very method. He wrote a letter that made the offenders of the church sorry, and that sorrow of the Word that he wrote to them, that chastisement of the Word, brought them to repentance. That's what happened. Read it. God's method. As long as we look for trouble and blame God for bringing our trouble, we are going to have trouble. Because we lack knowledge and understanding. Because we leave an open door for Satan to take advantage. And you that go around saying, you know, when I served the devil, I didn't have any troubles. But since I've come to God, I've got so much trouble I can hardly bear it. Hey, I got news for you. You're going to have more trouble than you can get out of. As your confession is, so be it unto you. If that's what you're going to confess, you're going to have it heaped on you double. My concept of God's different from that. Brother, I remember when I was in the world, that's when I had trouble. I couldn't sleep at night. I was so concerned, I laid awake some night and said, Lord, don't come tonight. Because I'm not ready. That's where trouble was. I never had real peace of mind and soul until I came to the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus Christ. Quit that negative nonsense that you're having all kind of trouble now that you've come to God. Baloney. Get in the Word. Find the solution to the problems that are in your life. Line up with what God's Word says. Confess the Word of God in faith, and God will see you through, and you'll have the greatest victory you've ever walked in if you just walk in the Word and believe the Word and let God do something for you in the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. Walk in it. Amen. Praise God. Now, God cannot help us through doubting, wavering, and wrong believing, for without faith it's impossible to please God. The man said that the man that wavereth is like the sea tossed by the winds. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from God. If you stand on that wavering edge of double-mindedness, I know you can't quite make up your mind whether God's for you or against you. You can't quite make up your mind where your trouble is coming from. You're hot one day and cold the next. You just waver. You say, well, I believe God can, but I don't think he will. Let not that man think, the Bible said, he'll receive anything from God. Why, is God mean? No, he can only respond to your free moral agency of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's not because God said, I want to be the big one you have to come crawling to, and unless you have faith in me, I'm not going to do anything for you. That's not the attitude behind it. You're a member of Adam's race, and as a member of Adam's race, you have a free will, and you can decide for yourself, and God will not violate that free will because he gave it to you and promised it to you, and he's not going to take it away from you, but he's saying, hey, I've got an answer to the better life. If you'll just come to me and I've opened the way where you can, it's called faith. And if you will have faith and exercise your own will, I will answer thee. Call unto me. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God will answer if you'll give him a chance. If you'll have faith, God will answer your life. He'll set you free if you have faith in God. Hallelujah. I tell you what. The touch of God will loose you if you walk in that area of faith and you believe God. Now, when we begin exercising faith, standing on the promises of God, immediately God becomes free to bless us. He wants to all the time, but he can't until we release him through the exercise of faith. We will never overcome Satan without faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's the overcoming power. Is there any part of your life that God cannot handle? Certainly not. Are you going to tell me that God's not big enough to take care of your problems? If that's your concept, you're in trouble. I serve a God that's bigger than that. My Bible said, cast all of your cares on him, for he careth for you. Didn't say cast the little ones on him that he can handle, because there are some that he didn't encounter when he was here on earth. There's some new things in this generation that Jesus can't handle. That's the way some people act. Have you ever caught God asleep? Of course not. The Bible said he never slumbers. Have you ever gone to Jesus with a problem he didn't have the power to solve? Have you ever heard Jesus say, well, I thought I'd overcome the world, but you presented me with something I haven't overcome. I overlooked that one. No, sir. When he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world system. That means in its totality. So, we believe God can, but do we believe that he will? Two different things. Oh, I believe God can. I think he's all powerful, but I don't know whether he will or not. Well, you're in for trouble. You're too unstable. You got to make up your mind what the word says and stand on it. You hear me? Oh, I believe God can, but do we believe he will? And better yet, do we believe he has? Now, that's really the crux of it. It's not a matter of believing he can. It's not even a matter of believing he will. It's a matter of believing he has. Now, fasten your seatbelts. Every defeat that Jesus gave the devil has already been consummated. He has already gone to the cross for you. He's already snatched the keys of death and hell from the enemy of your soul. By his stripes ye were healed, and because of that you are healed. The trouble with us, we all the time going around trying to get God to do something if God would just do this for me. He already has. We feel like we've got to beg and plead for 40 days and 40 nights to coerce God to do something, that He's just inactive. He has the power, but we just don't know whether He's going to do it or not. And so we just have to beg and plead and hope that maybe He'll have mercy on us and He'll come and do whatever we want Him to do. Folks, quit trying to get God to do something for you. Believe what the Word says. The price has already been paid. Jesus has already become a curse. He's already overcome. Your healing is already arranged. Your forgiveness is already arranged. Your victory has already been completed. Believe God has, and then walk in that faith, amen, and claim your place in God. Receive what God has for you. It's not a matter of can he or will he, it's a matter is he has. Already has. You walk in that, and you'll have victory. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. You wake up in the morning, instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning, you say, good morning, Lord. Hallelujah. And the devil will be heard to say, oh no, he's awake again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, when we say all things are possible with God, everybody agrees. You know, you don't get any rebuttal on that. All things are possible with God. Yep. He's all powerful. He can do all things. But let me tell you what else the Word says. If you're going to believe one, why don't you believe the other? It not only says all things are possible with God, the same Bible says all things are possible to him that believeth. That's you. Woo! Hallelujah. Did you get that one? All things are possible with God, yeah. But all things are also possible to me because I believe. Hallelujah. Get that down in your spirit. There are no impossible things in your life. Faith will give you the victory. Walk in faith, you'll overcome the world. Overcome the sickness Satan has put on you by exercising faith in God. Overcome the financial need that's in your life by having faith in God. Overcome the depression you feel by having faith in God. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Woman called me and said, Pastor, I just stay depressed. Said, try not to, but said, I just stay depressed. Said, just, I'm there alone in the house. I just feel so depressed. I said, well, what's your day like? Well, she said, I get up and I fix breakfast and get everybody off. And said, you know, I have time on my hands. And said, I watch the morning soaps. I said, stop right there. I said, no wonder you're depressed. If you send your spirit wading through that mountain of trouble and anguish and woe and incest and adultery and wife swapping and sickness and pain and lawsuits and jail sentences and murder and everything else, that someone sits down, must be demon-possessed to write a plot like that and puts out over the television, how could you be any other way than depressed?
What you put in your spirit is what you're going to feel coming out of your spirit. Amen. I said, sweetheart, turn off the knob, open God's word over into the New Testament and read some words of victory for a change, and feed your spirit with what God has to say, and then walk 9 feet tall, sun crowned, in the presence of God. Your whole life will change if you'll just walk in God's word. Hallelujah. I didn't have to hear any more of that story. Hallelujah. Faith is not something you try to have on the spur of the moment. It's an emergency. It's a way of life every day. Now back to the knowledge of the word as a builder of faith, and I'm finished. In Corinth, there were some Christians, and they were saved people who were sick, and some had died prematurely. Why? Because the Bible said they didn't properly discern the body of Jesus Christ. Now, back to the knowledge of the word is the builder of faith, and I'm finished. In Corinth, there were some Christians, and they were saved people who were sick, and some had died prematurely. Why? Because the Bible said they didn't properly discern the body of Jesus Christ. Now what's that saying? I want you to listen carefully. I'll mention this again tonight because it's so important. These were Christians. We're not unchristianizing you for having trouble, for being sick. I'm not here to heap condemnation upon you and say, shame on you, you dirty rat. Everyone has to go with the level of faith where they are. And if you have to take an aspirin to get rid of a headache, for heaven's sake, take the aspirin. I want the headache gone, what I want, because I don't believe sickness is of God. So I'm not criticizing or condemning you. All I'm saying is I'm trying to preach faith so you and I both, I haven't arrived, so you and I both can pull up a little higher to another notch, and every day we can be a little closer to God. We can feed the word into our spirits until we can walk in that faith and be overcomers, amen? And step by step, we can go up that ladder toward perfect faith. I believe it's possible, or God wouldn't have put it in there. Amen. Instead of sitting down and saying, it must not be for me, what's wrong with God? He doesn't stand behind his word. We ought to say, what's wrong with me? God's word is true. I'm going to believe it. And so if there's something wrong, it's in this part of the camp. And so I'm going to shore up my faith just a little bit and believe God just a little bit harder. I'm going to read the word a little bit more. And when the Holy Spirit directs that to my mind, I'm going to believe it and receive it and assimilate it and meditate upon it and walk in it and confess it. And it won't be long until you'll say, what trouble? I don't have it anymore. Glory to God. I'm on my way. Some of these people were sick because they didn't discern the Lord's body. That shows you it's God's will to heal them, but they didn't get healed. Why? They didn't understand. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Some died early. It's interesting, people to go there and explain to God why they got there before their time. So a lack of understanding opened them to satanic attack, and the result was sickness and death. But if they had properly discerned the Lord's body, they would have not been sick. They would not have died. Now, confession based on Scripture understanding will bring results. Now, why is it that we say we're believers, but if a doctor tells us we're going to die, we believe him? Do you hear me? Boy, we go into depression quick. The doctor gave me the big news. He said, what I've got's terminal. Oh, Lord, I'm going to die. You believe the doctor? Why don't you believe Dr. Jesus? He said, you're going to live. Amen. If your banker tells you you're going to be bankrupt, you believe it. You have a heart attack. Cardiac city. Ah.
Why don't you believe God? He said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If your critic tells you you're no good, you believe it. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Going in the garden and eat worms. Big, fat, juicy worms. Little, slimy, slimy worms. Oozy, 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 oozy worms. First one went down easy. Second one tasted greasy. Third one got tangled in my throat. Nobody loves me. Hogwash. Some people leave and they got to go eat. Don't we do foolish things? Hallelujah. Critic says you're no good. You just believe it. There's a higher authority than the doctor, the banker, the critic. Did you know that? His name is Jesus. I'm not criticizing what people say. Maybe that's what they believe. And what they believe is what's going to come out of their mouth. But that doesn't mean I have to believe it. Because I listen to Jesus. He said, I'm come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. The Bible said there's no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I walk free from that condemnation. I don't let man come along and put condemnation on me. Hogwash, forget it. Get on your way. I don't want to hear it. I'm free from condemnation. God said so. I don't care what the world says. Don't you see? Depends on what God says. We believe everybody else. We need to start believing God. Hallelujah. It's the Word of God. It's a higher authority. So if God tells you in His Word that He's the healer, believe it. If God tells you your needs are going to be supplied, believe it. If God tells you you're the righteousness of God, believe it. Instead of going around saying, I'm dying, the doctor said so. Let's go around saying, I'm living, Jesus said so. Hallelujah. Now the walk of faith demands a change of lifestyle. You cannot walk in the world's manner and vocabulary and live faith. You hear me? You cannot walk in the world's vocabulary and mannerism and live faith because they're diametrically opposed. You've got to change your whole vocabulary, your way of thinking. You've got to bring everything about your life in line with God's Word. And you walk in the Word, not in the lifestyle of the world around you. And the faith walk shows up in what you read, in what you think, in what you confess, in how you act, in all of your daily habits. You know, we're so programmed to negativism until something wonderful happens to a person. You know what the first thing the person says? Well, I just can't believe it. No matter how great something happens, they've got to interject a negative ending to it. I just can't believe it. Hey, believe it. God loves you. A person sneezes and immediately comes out of his mouth, I'm trying to catch cold. Keep trying. You'll catch it. Just automatic, the language of the world. Someone said, are you going shopping tomorrow? I'm afraid so. Person going in for a job interview. You know what he says? I just know they're not going to accept me. Hey, don't waste your time. If you know it, be honest with what you confess. Just stay home. Save yourself the car fare. Someone said, I never have any good luck. And sure enough, the horseshoe falls off the door and hits him on the head. Don't we confess dumb things? No one likes me. I just know I'm not going to make it. The Bible works for some people, but not for me. And you develop the attitude of the world around you in this dog-eat-dog world where everybody is suspicious of everybody else and where everybody is out for himself and where everything is cutthroat, and you develop your vocabulary and your action in the jungle of this world, and your faith can't rise high enough to bring deliverance into your life. But if you'll get your mind out of the devil's domain and get your mind into God's holy word and begin to walk by faith in what God says you are and what God says you can have and what God says you can do, and you begin to walk and read that word and let it pump it into your life and personalize that scripture and put your own name in there every time you read it and say, if God said it, that settles it. I believe it. I'm going to stand upon it. The world can say no. I'm going to believe God and not the world. The doctor can say no. I'm going to believe Jesus and not the doctor. The banker can say no. I'm going to believe God and not the banker. The world can be negative. I'm going to be positive. I'm a child of God. I've got my hand in the hand of the one that controls it all. He's my heavenly Father. I'm going to make it. Oh, glory to God, because my faith is anchored in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. We'll shut her down. Continued next Sunday morning. Same time, same station. Living color. We'll be here if the rapture doesn't take place. I've got more to tell you about an example of believers in faith. Are we going to be overcomers? I don't want you to feel condemned. I don't want you to feel threatened. I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to act like I'm closer to God than you or more advanced than you, and that you're to be put down because you are going through some trials and you haven't got deliverance in some areas. I'm not here to shame you. I'm here to say, let's all get to the book and let's believe what God says there, and let's lift ourselves up by faith and let's walk in victory. Glory to God. I want a church that is walking in victory. I don't want a Corinthian church where some are sick and some are dying. I want people that are living by faith in God because they discern the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and they walk with every sin under the blood and with all of their sickness under the stripes of Jesus Christ, and we walk with victory and in faith because we're climbing day by day in the Word of God. I believe we can have a church that can shake a city for God because we walk in faith. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Don't you feel better than if I'd have stood up here for an hour with a negative sermon and said, sure enough, you're not going to make it. God's going to kill you before next Sunday. You blame me for talking positively, but if I'd talk that way, you'd boot me out. I'd say, yeah. I don't know whether that's applause to boot me out or just... Yeah. You come and say, Pastor, pray. I'd say, oh, well, no use of it. You're done. God told me no hope. Be brave. Tough it out. Get a shot of morphine. You wouldn't like that. And yet some people want to criticize a preacher for preaching truth and faith and getting a hold of God. I want us to climb higher, not sink lower. By faith in God. Yeah, but I know someone that tried to believe and he died. Quit interpreting the Bible by someone's experience. Interpret someone's experience by the Bible. That's where the answer is. Let's hold it. Leave it. Folks, if you're here today without God, you need Him. You know that. You need Him in your life. You can't even begin to walk in faith. Without God, you walk uncovered. There is no canopy of protection over you if you willfully are sinning and outside of God's forgiveness. No canopy of protection. You are open season to the devil. Only the grace and mercy of God keeps you alive, and that's not guaranteed to you as a sinner. But it is guaranteed to you as a Christian. And that's where your protection is when you know God. And in this church, we don't slip around to accept Jesus Christ. We do it openly and boldly. We make up our mind and say, yes, I'm coming to God. I don't care who sees it or knows it. I'm going to be saved. I'm not going to walk in unbelief anymore. I'm not going to walk with my life in jeopardy. I'm not going to walk hanging over the precipice of hell by a thin thread. I'm going to get right with God and walk under the canopy of the protective blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk in faith and begin this faith walk. And God will forgive you your sin if you'll confess it and let the blood of Jesus cover it. And you can leave here brand new in God, a child of God, walking under the canopy of God's protection. You will feel 9 feet tall when you walk out of here today if you'll just give your life to God. Turn it all over to Jesus. And so we don't have everyone bow their heads and hide their face, act like it's something to be ashamed of, and you slip up your hand and slip it down and slip down an aisle, slip in the altar and slip up and slip out. Nobody ever knows. We just say, hey, if you want Jesus, we want you to come along, and we're going to serve God together. We love you with every fiber of our being, but if you don't want God, then you can't have Him. But if you want Him, you can have Him. He's available. And if you'll come to Him and not be ashamed of Jesus, He said, I'll not be ashamed of you before my heavenly Father. I'll say, Father, this is so-and-so. He's covered with my blood. Accept Him in. He's your child. Amen. And you got someone pulling for you. So if you're here and things are not right, the singers are coming, we're closing it out, don't run for the exits, give me just 5 minutes and it's all over and we all go home except those that are seeking God. But I want you to know Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you need God in your life, you need forgiveness of sin, you want the Lord to come in, God's going to do that thing for you just like He does for hundreds of others as we seek God. Every service in this place, God is going to come into your heart. And if you want God to come in, I want you to do something right now, boldly. Raise your hand as I come to your section and signify by that preacher, I want to join you in prayer that Jesus is coming into my heart. I'm changing my lifestyle today. I'm going to start walking in faith. I'm going to be forgiven of my sins. I want to pray with you that I'll be a child of God. And then I'm going to give you the further instructions, and we're going to pray, and God's going to set you free. This section right here, you want something to come into your life from the forgiveness of God. Raise your hand up right here, and we're going to pray in just a little bit. This section right here, your hand, please, as we come to the end of this service, get ready to pray for God to forgive you. Thank you. Are there others? Raise it high. Don't be ashamed. People are welcoming you. They love you. They're glad. Anyone else in this section right here? You want to come to Jesus. Thank you. Are there others? What about this section right here? Thank you. God bless you, sweetheart. That's beautiful. Two hands up. I believe God's already done something for you, but we're going to do something else. Anyone else in this section? Amen. Praise God. You want Jesus? You want forgiveness? You want to walk in the joy of God's love? Raise your hand right here, anywhere, boldly. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Beautiful couple. That's beautiful. Anyone else in this section? You want to join us in prayer? Change your life? Get on God's side? Walk in faith. Thank you, sweetheart. God bless you. Are there others? You want to make a change? Thank you. God bless you. An about face. Revolutionize your life. Walk in joy and peace, because God is overshadowing. Anyone else? Thank you so very much. What about right here in the middle section? You want to join us and let God come into your heart today? You need to be forgiven of those things that are not right in your life. Raise your hand up boldly. The middle section right here. Thank you, darling. Praise God. Anyone else? You may put it down. That's beautiful. Anyone else? God wants to come in. You do it. If you do your part, I promise you God will do His. Anyone else? Somebody needs to be in. You're just on the verge. Get your hand up. What about this section right here? Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? You want Jesus to come into your heart. this section right here. We're going to pray. God's going to do it for you. Hurry. Thank you, young man. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Amen. Thank you. God bless you. I knew. Amen. What about right here in this section? You want to join us in prayer? Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you, sweetheart. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, young man. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Don't neglect the people in the balcony. What about it? You want Jesus? Get your hand up. Wave it at me so I can see it. Anyone up? Oh, thank you. God bless you. Beautiful. Amen. Amen. Now tonight, thank you. Yes, I see another one. Thank you. Tonight when you come in, if you sit in the balcony, start from this far extreme over here and fill it in this way, because our big camera is going to be on this corner. Start in this section and fill it around this way, okay? Tonight. Amen. Now, all of you that raised your hands, I'm glad you did, because this is time to come to God. This is the greatest morning you'll ever have. It's afternoon now. The greatest time of your life is when you say yes to God and you start walking in faith and Jesus forgives you. Amen. Don't anyone leave now. Just give me a couple of minutes. And here's what I want you to do. In a few minutes, we'll be standing. The singers will be singing. All of you that raised your hands, maybe you didn't raise it and you needed to, I want you to take another step in the name of Jesus. Come down an aisle nearest to you. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. People love you. They're not against you. They're cheer you when you come into the kingdom. You come and stand with me. I'll meet you here, right here. And I'm going to pray with you just like I promised. And I promise you, if you'll do your part, God will do his. You'll leave here born again, brand new in God. Every sin gone, forever gone, never to be remembered against you anymore. You get those sins covered by the blood, they'll never show up in God's book. They'll be erased. And God's going to come in. All right. No one leaving now, just for a couple of minutes. Everyone standing, wherever you are. You that raise your hands, come quickly to stand with me right here. We're going to have a prayer together and believe God to touch your life. Come on, right now, while we wait for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're going to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's going to be your day. Amen. Praise God. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hi, sweetheart. Come unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Let him have his way. We'll wait just a moment. Hurry. If you're going to come join us, there's room to stand. Hallelujah. Up on the balcony, we'll wait. Come down this stairway. Join us. Come on to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come to Jesus. Let him have his. All right, just hold it a minute. Now, I'm glad you've come today to accept Jesus as Savior, the best step you could ever take. And God's just going to come into your heart real quickly. Salvation consists of repentance of sin. You're sorry of what's wrong. You want to change that. That's your own will working. You say, God, I don't want to do those things. I want to live for you. Then you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross. They put him in a grave, but he rose again. You believe in that resurrection. And the Bible said if you believe that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Okay. You repent of your sin. You believe Jesus, Son of God, he died for you on the cross. He rose again, and then you confess him with your mouth. And what you've done by boldly in front of several thousand people, you come and stood. That is a public confession. Now, you also speak it, but you act it just like you have right now. And God's going to do his job. Now, you've done yours, and when you pray, you will have done yours. All you can do, because you cannot do the miracle of saving yourself. That's God's business. All you can do is what he asks you to do, and when you do what he asks you to do, be assured Jesus will do his part. For he said, whoso cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he'll do it. And so repeat this prayer after me and mean it from your heart. And then God is going to come into your life. You ready? Pray it with me. Heavenly Father, I confess I'm a sinner. And I repent of my sins. Because I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of my sins. So I turn away from my sins and ask for cleansing. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. He's a living Savior, and I accept him now as my personal Savior. I believe he forgives my sins. I believe he washes my sins away. And I confess that with my mouth. I'm now a Christian. I confess I'm a child of God. I've been accepted by the Lord himself as one of God's children. I confess Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I'll live for him the rest of my life. And now, by faith, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I have a new life. I've begun the walk of faith. I am God's. And he is mine. In Jesus' name, I am free. Amen.